Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Earth Day and the concept that heaven is below our feet as well as above our heads. This show will focus on the direct experience of acknowledging the presence of divine love here on Earth. Listen as we explain how to use Earth Day to ground a very lofty and essential life theme. Light in the soul leads to peace on Earth. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of eternal happiness. So Swami, what I'd like to do first is just review Earth Day and a little bit of history for our listeners, for those that may not know. And this information I got from windcalendar.com. So Earth Day seeks to highlight and promote efforts dedicated to the protection of the environment. As we enter the 21st century, we face many environmental crises, including global warming, deforestation, endangered wildlife, shortages of potable water, and widespread pollution, all which negatively affect our planet's resources. So in 1970, a U.S. senator named Gaylord Nelson was inspired to bring about mass public awareness of environmental problems. So he ended up creating the United States Environmental Protection Agency and the passage of the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Act. So now today, Earth Day is celebrated by billions of people around the world and is observed in over 190 countries. So now this year's 2018 Earth Day, what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring public awareness to plastic pollution. So Earth Day 2018, is their slogan is End Plastic Pollution. And this I'm getting from earthday.org. So I would encourage all of our listeners out there, if you want to learn more, then just hop on that website. So Swami, what I'd like to get from you is, let's talk about the concept that heaven is below our feet as well as above our heads.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, that everything is spirit. Everything is a different aspect of the same thing. And trying to approach our lives from that sense of understanding, I think, gives us a different way of looking, not only at the planet, but looking at ourselves. Because a major theme, I think, with Earth Day for me has always been healing. And healing the earth is really the same way that you would go about trying to heal your own physical body. If you were really looking to get the best result, in my opinion, I think the best method of healing is what they call spiritual healing. And in order to be able to demonstrate spiritual healing, you have to have spiritual understanding. And in order to create spiritual understanding, it's really helpful if you start with just the basic fundamental, like creation, how creation is taking place. Because the earth is visible and tangible to human sense. Spirit is invisible and intangible to human sense. And the relationship here is cause and effect. We've got the creator and creation. In order for something to manifest, to come into form, it must split from spirit. Spirit is unity consciousness. It is the indivisible unified state. Now, when something splits from the unified state, it manifests in half and then leaves behind a complementary unmanifested other part. That kind of gives us this concept of a trinity, a way of looking at reality from a multidimensional level. And for the human being on an experiential level, we visit three different dimensions of reality every day. When we go from waking state to dream state to dreamless state. And to cross-reference what it is that we just talked about with this principle of manifestation, when consciousness is in our physical bodies, we experience what's called the waking state. And the waking state is consciousness of the visible and tangible aspect of reality. We have recollection from our experience with this dimension simply because it's in half. There's a point of departure which creates contrast, and it enables our senses to perceive what's before them. When consciousness leaves the physical body, moves into what we call the astral mental body, that's the sleep from which we return where we have recollection, the dream state. The dream state is invisible but tangible. It's the realms of thought. And we have recollection from our experience with the dream state because we can remember our dreams. Mm-hmm. And the reason we can remember our dreams is because of the contrast. Because the complementary unmanifested other half is in half. There's the point of departure, there's contrast, and our senses perceive what's before them. Now, when consciousness leaves your astral mental body and moves into your causal spiritual body, that's the sleep from which we return where we have no recollection. And that's the regenerative, the restorative, dreamless state. The reason we have no recollection from our experience with this dimension is because consciousness has returned to the unified state. And because there is no point of departure, there's no contrast, there is nothing reported in our senses. There is no testimony for our senses. And therefore, when we come from there, we have no recollection from our experience with that dimension. Now, starting to understand that simple principle of creation, I think, gives us a much better understanding of how we can go about working the relationship between things that are visible and tangible and their relationship to the things that are invisible and intangible. Because in that relationship, if you get cause and effect backwards, then it creates this interference pattern that really kind of interferes with our ability to maintain what I call harmony and stability. But if you do it from cause to effect and you understand that it is really the invisible and the intangible that supports and generates the visible and the tangible, that gives you a better starting point in being able to affect the desired outcome, especially in this work of healing.
So, Swami, I know you always say what surrounds us is within us. So if we look at the condition of the planet, you know, being Earth Day and everything, so would we look at that as a clear telltale sign of what is going on around us collectively as the species on the planet?
Well, to answer your question, I think that might actually be a better answer for the first question that you gave me, which was, heaven is above our head as well as below our feet. That this whole concept, the earth is spiritual, the earth has consciousness, and having awareness of the presence of spirit, of divine love, is, I think, the best way for us to start to understand ourselves differently. By understanding ourselves differently, by starting to see that we are eternal spiritual beings, that will start to help us heal some of the discord and some of the diseases that a lot of us are experiencing because of the simple fact that we have lost touch with this concept of heaven, that this kingdom of heaven is within us, but it's our responsibility to discover it, to unleash it. And when we do that, what we're putting out will give us a much better effect on the planet itself. So we will start to change how we think about ourselves, and that will start to change how we perform in the physical world, but it will also have an effect on how the world responds to us.
So if we put our efforts into doing what we can do, you know, like say we take the slogan this year with Earth Day is end plastic pollution. So if everybody does their part and consciously makes this effort not to buy plastics or to make sure they recycle their plastics and so on and so forth. So are you saying that by us doing that, that will set the energy in place to lift the healing for the earth?
Yeah, I think the way that it works is that once we start to develop a sense of concern for the earth, once we have a sense of the value, the importance of the earth, we start to elevate our awareness of the earth. And then in doing that, then undertaking tasks, things that we actually do in the physical world, is a way of manifesting. But I think the most important thing is to start changing how we think about the earth, rather than trying to go about it giving us rules and regulations. Because when you do something with a genuine concern, when you really are engaged and you understand the intention of what it is that you're doing, it's very different than if you are just doing it out of obligation or because they've made it a law. And by starting to understand ourselves spiritually, what we really start to do is we start to develop this sense of respect. We start to respect ourselves. We start to respect life in general. And that starts to pour out into the planet.
So speaking of respect, I came across a Native American proverb. This was also on Wind Calendar. And this proverb states, "We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children." I thought that was interesting. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I like that whole thing that we're more future focused in that rather than from the past, thinking about the way things were. It brings a certain sense of attention to let's be mindful of where we're going with this, especially with just looking at our immediate environment. And even like what you had talked about, the whole thing of plastic and how that's affecting the ocean. I remember we watched that movie on that time, and it was the plastic ocean. It was absolutely horrifying.
All right, so on that note, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, a complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul.
and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, in our summary, we said that the show is going to focus on the direct experience of acknowledging the presence of divine love here on Earth. So what does that look like? Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, again, coming back to what we started saying about cause and effect and the whole thing of the relationship between creator and creation. Because a key point here is that the creator is continuously revealing itself through creation. That creation itself, the manifested part of our reality, is the visible and tangible aspect of us starting to know the Creator. And I think the number one truth is that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine. This means that what we call human is spirit and eternal. That reality, on a very high level, is that all creation really is a manifestation of spirit. And in the process of what I would call grounding this truth, which is why I think it's so important on Earth Day, because that is the whole concept of bringing this lofty aspiration down to Earth, so to speak, down to the human level of understanding. And in that process of grounding truth, we can start to use what's visible and tangible, the manifested part, to help us understand the activity of the invisible and the intangible by using what surrounds us is within us. But the first thing that's of the utmost importance is to understand the qualities of spirit. That spirit is whole, it's complete. It's not the same as duality. Duality is a mix of good and evil. It is conflicting forces. It's two powers working together or against each other. Spirit is one power. It is the unified state. So when we talk about divine love, we're not talking about what we understand to be love from a human level, which is a mix of love and hate. That divine love is pure love. It's absolute love. And that's all it can be. And when you really start to look at creation and you start to look at what's really going on in the planet, the origins of all of the discord and conflict and negativity that's happening in the outside world is a direct result of our neglect for acknowledging the presence of spirit.
So this may be a new concept for a lot of our listeners when we say that creation must reflect the qualities of the creator, but when we look around us, we don't see those qualities, or most of us don't see those qualities in front of us. I mean, we're looking for qualities of harmony, peace, love, joy, and goodness, but people could be looking around and seeing the total opposite. So how can that be?
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. Now, what we have to start to understand is that in order for us to affect the healing that we're talking about, we really have to change our point of focus from what is appearing in the outside world, from the testimony of our senses. And we want to start to look at creation from the perspective of the Creator and to hold those qualities in your field of awareness. By doing that, we're actually bringing them into consciousness. And by bringing them into consciousness, eventually we will bring them into creation, into reality. And the way that that works is that in yoga, we call it darshan. Darshan is derived from the Sanskrit word darshana, meaning sight, vision, or appearance. In the Hindu tradition, darshan refers to the beholding of a holy person, sacred object, natural phenomena, or deity, especially in imaged form. Darshan implies a mutual interaction between the viewer and the perceived object or being. So this whole thing that thought has effect on reality, the double slit experiment in quantum physics, that observation has effect on reality, that the mere looking at something has an effect on how it will respond to us. And so by us changing how we're thinking, this concept of thinking makes it so. And how we think is what we become, becomes a big ally in trying to heal the planet, and also can be applied to just trying to heal ourselves or heal others for that matter, by just changing how we perceive them and starting to look at things from a spiritual level of understanding, as opposed to just taking the testimony from the outside world.
Well, you know, we've been working with a lot lately in practice is that before we do anything, we say, well, I guess we praise, I guess however you want to word it, but Father, take over is one of the things I've been trying to use before I take on any particular task. Now, I'm not 100% on it, but I hope to someday get to that point. And by doing that, it's making me realize that everyone around me is spirit. And by doing that, hopefully that will lift myself up and everybody else around me.
Yeah, that's kind of like the application of namaste, that I bow to the divinity within you. Now, it's one thing when you do that orally and you just make a audible statement, but it's a very different thing when we start to know that everyone out there is the reflection of a divine state of consciousness, independent of what their behavior is like, independent of what their appearance is like, that they are the creator revealing themselves to creation. Now, if we can start to see the good in them, and whatever that might be, because they will start to respond to us based on how we perceive them. It's one of the things in behavior, you know, that if an animal senses fear, they attack. And another way of experimenting with this is we know that when we step into an environment where people like us, where they think highly of us, it elevates our inner state of being. And the reverse is oftentimes true. If you are exposed to an environment where they're critical or negative or argumentative, that it has a tendency to lower our sense of well-being.
So how do you suggest that we build a relationship with creation?
Well, I think it starts with understanding, first of all, the importance of the planet. That if we do not have this environment, our sense of well-being is going to be in jeopardy. just like what we do in our Kriya Yoga practice, we know the difference between a need and a want. And by putting spirit in its place of importance, in its primary position, that it's our number one need, and developing a sense of value for that. Because once we value something, we're more inclined to take care of it. And having a sense of the sacred and respect for all creation is a good practice to develop awareness for the underlying spirit of the earth, and then bringing with that this sense of respect. Simply because one senses something pure, powerful, and sacred in their environment, then we'll be more inclined to take care of it, because like I said, we'll have value for it. And when you think about it, there really isn't anything that's more valuable than divine love, the light of eternal life for all creation.
Yeah, in our notes, we have written down that seeing spirit as the cause of creation shifts the focus from the earth back to the creator. And I think that's what I've been trying to do earlier when I said I'm trying to put into practice of, you know, God take over, you know, and then like what you say, admit the Christ. So just trying to bring things back to the creator and looking not just to verbally say that like you had said earlier, but actually to have that feeling just permeate my physical body.
Right. And by elevating your consciousness to that level of understanding and seeing all the goodness that is being poured out through creation starts to elevate the collective consciousness, and it starts to bring everybody's attitude up to a more positive level of appreciation for the planet. So that, again, we're not just doing something out of responsibility, but you're starting to develop a sense of enthusiasm for stewardship of the planet, for taking responsibility for the well-being of our future.
So in our summary, we had stated that the light in the soul leads to peace on earth. And Swami, I was hoping that you could, for our listeners, recite the Chinese proverb that is called light in the soul.
Right. When there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. When there's beauty in the person, there's harmony in the home. When there's harmony in the home, there's honor in the nation. When there's honor in the nation, there's peace in the world. And I think the thing that's most important to understand, what does that mean when there's light in my soul? What does it mean when I have awareness for divine love in my consciousness? Because that is when we start to see things spiritually. That's when we start to identify with ourselves as being an eternal spiritual being. And from that vantage point, it starts to change everything. It not only changes how we see ourselves, but it changes how we see others and how we see the planet. And we're seeing it in a way that is restoring and regenerating everything that's around us.
I think that's probably a pretty good place to end our program. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make comments about this show or even access even some of the archive Blog Talk radio shows that we have there for your learning experiences. Be sure to tune in on Wednesday evenings at 5 o'clock as we do have a Facebook Live session that we air every week. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to try and make an effort to see the spirit as the cause of creation, to maybe shift their focus from the earth back to the creator, and maybe elevate the collective consciousness. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.